Our first public reading this morning has come from Psalm 89, just the first 19 verses. And I think one of the things I was taught many, many moons ago, and I haven't forgotten it, is the fact that I was taught when I was 18, 19, after my salvation from Roman Catholicism into the light and life of God, is always look for words that repeat themselves. And if you've noticed, the word faithfulness was mentioned more than once. Notice how verse 1 begins, a well-known chorus that I imagine everybody has sung at one time. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. God's faithfulness. Pastor Jim just prayed for us, and he mentioned a word, and I picked up on that, the word steadfastness. That's another synonym for God being a faithful, because he's faithful. He's steadfast to keep his word and to keep his promises. God cannot do certain things. And one thing God cannot do is lie. God cannot deceive. God cannot cheat. God does not rob anyone. So yes, our God is a mighty God, and yet most Christians don't realize there are certain things that God cannot do because it's contrary to his nature. And one of the things that God cannot do is to renege on his word or on any promise that he has made. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. Wow. What a God we serve. And then also in this particular psalm, as I read it, and I would stop, make a few comments, and then go on. Let's now make it a public record here to put on the church website. Look at verses 3 and 4. In the scriptures, if you begin to study carefully, you realize that even some of the famous heroes of the Old Testament, we think of Noah, we think of Abraham, we think of Joseph that was sold into slavery, and some 20 years later, he becomes the prime minister to the empire of Egypt, and he was the one that was feeding the nations around Egypt during a seven-year famine. We think of David, we think of Solomon, and I use the expression, how I was taught, that there are times that these Old Testament heroes, okay, when they would exhibit a certain behavior or a certain response, they were prefiguring the greater David who would come, the greater Noah who would come, the greater Solomon who would come. And here's an example. God says, I have made a covenant with my chosen. Now, initially, this is a reference to King David. But beloved, if that's all you see, if you don't have eyes to project into God's truth, you're going to miss out on something. I have made a covenant with my chosen. Did not God the Father make a covenant with his Son before creation and choosing whom he would save? We call that the covenant of redemption, or the plan of redemption. Before the first stars twinkled, before the sun even gave light to the earth, and before the moon went through its phases, even before the creation of the entire angelic realm, God the Father made a covenant with God the Son in giving to the Son a people whom the Son would rescue. So, the lesser David, God made a covenant that through his loins the Savior would come. Jesus is the greater David. Verse 4, thy seed, singular. You don't have a Jewish seed and you don't have a Gentile seed on two different railroad tracks going in two different directions, as our dispensational friends want us to believe. It's only one church, only one flock, only one fold, only one bride of Christ. Thy seed will I establish forever. Beloved, that's you. And if anybody here is questioning your assurance, or if you are wavering on your assurance, may I give you assurance? What does it say? Thy seed will I establish forever. It doesn't say I'm going to establish you until you get out of the way. No. God has his hands upon you, even in your most darkest moments. What else? And build up thy throne to all generations, not just to the Jews, but eventually to all generations. So even in the Old Testament was anticipating a much broader application of this redemption, not just to one little nation. And even they were unfaithful. They were so unfaithful, they murdered their king. They committed high treason, as I showed you in John 19. And thus God destroyed them and their city 40 years later. But here we are being told, Jesus says, go ye into all the world. He didn't say, oh, go back to Israel and save them and let everybody else go to hell. No, go ye into all the world. Because scattered across all the nations and tongues and tribes and peoples of this planet are God's elect. And the gospel net, your net, my net, as we share the gospel, is to bring those fish home, to bring the elect home. Wow. Verse 5, and the heaven shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Who and what are we? We are the ecclesia in the Greek. The Greek word ekklesia is the word translated church. And it's actually two Greek words put together. Ek means out. And ekklesia is laity. You put them both together. The word church simply means those who have been called out. That's who you are. If you are saved here this morning, God the Holy Spirit, in God's proper time, based on the atonement of Christ, called you out of darkness into light. He called you out of spiritual death, and he's given you a new heart, and now you dwell in spiritual life. He called you out of blindness and given you spiritual sight. He's called you out of deafness, spiritual deafness, where the word of God made no sense. And now when you hear the scriptures, you relish God's word. Isn't that beautiful? Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Notice when certain church denominations tell us you don't need that Old Testament. We're just New Testament Christians. Look what they are robbing themselves of. Notice what they're missing out in the Old Testament scriptures. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Beloved, nobody. No president, no prime minister, no king, no queen. Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? Beloved, nobody. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. That's us. And beloved, if you look at most congregations today, they don't fear God. You look at some of the antics that actually goes on in these so-called houses of worship. It's nothing but a concert, and it's nothing but total madness. And yet they do all that in his name. Now, God's not feared today. We have lowered God so low that he's simply one of us, with a long beard, and he rocks on a rocking chair in heaven and smiles upon the world as we're killing each other. There's no fear of God in most churches. And to be had in reverence of all them that are above him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Just go back home and just underline the number of times the word faithfulness is found, just in the first 19 verses. And then to close out, look at verses 19. When thou speakest in vision to thy Holy One, and sayest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. And then let's just kind of cheat a little bit. Look at verse 20 by further context. I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. Now, Samuel the prophet, when King Saul forfeited his right to be king, and God rejected Saul, and then God chooses young David to be the next king, Samuel anoints David with oil. Greater David, Jesus comes down to the Jordan to his cousin John. And John says, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And Jesus enters into the Jordan. And John the Baptist, realizing who in the world is standing in front of him, says, "Time out. I need to be baptized of you." And Jesus looks at his cousin and says, "No, I must fulfill all things." And John baptized him. And the Holy Spirit came down and hovered above Jesus. In the Old Testament, oil that was used for anointing was symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? The lesser David was anointed with literal oil, which prefigured symbolically the Spirit of God. New Testament, Jesus is anointed for his priestly work when the dove, the Holy Spirit, lightened upon him. Wow. Notice how much God's people are being starved when they don't read and study the Old Testament. They are missing out on so much that could give them assurance and comfort in the most darkest moments of life. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.